And good morning. Hello, everybody. The number here at this program is Health Essentials. Sometimes I don't think about saying that because I'm just kind of on autopilot and I keep thinking everybody knows this program is called Health Essentials, but maybe not everybody does. For all I know, you're driving down the road and you've never heard this program before, but let's talk about things that everybody can do that are safe and non-toxic. How would you like it if a physician prescribed a drug to you and the drug itself made you so sick, you felt so bad that you started thinking that life wasn't even worth living? Well, that's no good. You want to live, don't you? I think one of the comments, and maybe sometimes it's spoken in frustration, and rightly so, is the comment that I want to get to the root cause of the problem. And so I'll ask questions like, did your doctor go over your blood work with you? And I'll let you guess that one. I already know the answer. You do too. But then I'll ask, what did they do to truly investigate what's going on with your body? You know, God has designed all these symptoms to tell us and to alert us that something's not working right. And so let me give you an example this morning. Last week I talked about salt just briefly, but I find the conversation so interesting. You know, so much of the earth itself is covered by the ocean, but that's not fresh water, that's salt water. And I was thinking about, well, what do polar bears do? How do they get their water? Well, you can bet your bottom dollar that if a polar bear is able to be stealthy and clever enough to swim quietly through the ocean and sneak up on a sunbathing seal on an ice sheet. I started saying iceberg. You know, the ice that's not super thick like an iceberg, but it's floating in the Arctic Ocean somewhere, you know, anywhere it's super cold, and the seal is laying in the middle of it. Well, the polar bear has got to just barely keep his nose and his eyes above the water as he tries to get downwind from the seal that's taking a nap and find out, how am I going to sneak up on this guy? I do not know what their success rate is, but my guess would be if they're not real successful, which means they probably have a lot of hunts they go on where they come up empty-handed, or maybe just within inches of catching a seal. And for all I know, maybe it's some other polar bear, and she's got two cubs that are super hungry. I could be wrong, but I would guess that polar bear cubs are super hungry, and they would love to eat some fresh, you know, seal or walrus, whatever they eat. But you know what? God designed animals to adapt to their environment. But when a polar bear does catch it, you know why I'm bringing this up, is because I watched a short YouTube video, and I'm describing what the polar bear did. He was able to sneak up on a seal, and I thought the seal had gotten away, but the polar bear dove in the water, the freezing cold water after him, and lo and behold, he comes up with a seal. Anyway, the seal is covered in salt. We're going to go to the phone lines, and we'll come back momentarily. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hey, doctor. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm on my way to my Gideon's prayer meeting, and I listen to you every Saturday morning.
Where's the prayer meeting going to be held?
Well, it's always at Holly Tree.
Holly Tree, okay. Is that in Tyler?
Yeah, well, at Holly Tree Country Club.
How many men are going to be there, or men and women?
Well, it's men and women. We have two separate meetings, but usually there's about 10 to 12.
Okay, that's a good number.
Yeah, I mean, we're actively trying to hand out Bibles and do our thing, but I have a question for you. I'm pretty healthy. I'm 82 now. I exercise all the time. I eat properly. In February, working out on my Bowflex, I strained my neck muscle, a neck nerve, actually. I have a bulging disc in C6, C7, And so I went first to the chiropractor, and he couldn't do anything. So I went to the clinic, and my blood pressure was 200 over 105. And so she gave me a steroid shot, and she put me on Losartan, and it brought it down to about, 150 over 85 or so. And so then she scheduled me for my regular doctor's visit. I went in there, and it was still high, and so she prescribed amlodipine. I think I'm pronouncing that right.
Amlodipine.
Amlodipine, 5 milligrams. And now it's down to, 135 over 75 to 80. It's my diastolic has always been under 80 most of my life.
That's a good sign.
Yeah, but my systolic has always been high. You know, I weigh 145 pounds. I'm 5'9". So, I've always tried to keep myself in pretty decent shape. But I asked my primary physician, what caused this? And, of course, she said, well, I don't know. We've got it under control. And that was it. So I don't understand after 82 years of all of a sudden having high blood pressure. And so I didn't know. And we looked at all my blood tests and all that stuff, and everything is pretty much in line.
Okay. I'm sorry, go ahead.
The only thing in my history is that I come from a family of ill healthy people. You know, my dad had a massive stroke at 49 and died at 59. You know, my mother has always been on high blood pressure medicine. My sister's always been on high blood pressure medicine. So high blood pressure pretty much runs in our family.
But it's really never affected you until of late.
Right.
Okay, gotcha. Right. That means your body's been in pretty good balance up until now.
Right.
I like that.
So, I guess I shouldn't concern myself at 82, and, I'm not going to live forever anyway, because everybody in my family, there's only been one person in my entire, both sides of my parents' family that lived past 82, lived past 83, and that was my grandfather on my mother's side. So everybody else has died in their 50s and 60s, and then my mother died at 82.
Well, can I give you a bunch of different ideas, and they may not seem like they all tie together, but they're really all the same topic?
Sure.
Okay, so there's a intracellular mineral or electrolyte known as potassium. So when you wake up and before you go to your Gideon Bible study and you're trying to build your strength to hand out Bibles, you may have an avocado with your eggs. Well, avocados would be a great source of potassium. Does that make sense?
Sure.
There's two or three things that happen is when you have a ruptured disc, what may happen is you may start leaching your potassium from surrounding tissues, and so in a roundabout way, that may precipitate your body into having more inflammation momentarily. So as a general rule, and this is just general, if I look at somebody's blood tests and if I see potassium levels, for example, at 4.5, I think, hey, that's perfect. That's exactly what you want. But when you start seeing potassium drop below the number 4.5, let's just say it goes all the way below 4 and it's 3.9, I think a person has a problem. And okay. It may not make logical sense, but potassium plays a very interesting role at the speed at which the blood flows through the body. So I know I'm kind of making a big contrast here, but how would you like your blood to be so thick and so dirty? It moves super slow through the bloodstream, and your poor heart is having to struggle to pump harder just to push the sluggish, thick blood through the body. Well, you don't want that.
Right.
So study after study really points to the idea that potassium plays a role in that. And so when you have adequate amounts or optimal amounts of potassium, then all of a sudden your blood seems to flow at a much faster rate of speed, and it flows pretty easily. And the good news is your heart doesn't have to work as hard to pump, you know, the blood through the arteries. Everything becomes easier. So I would just go back and revisit the blood test and see if your potassium is around 4.5. If it's less than that, then we may have something that we can take a look at.
Sure.
Okay.
Now, I eat two bananas every week, or one banana every week, actually. Isn't that pretty high in potassium as well?
It's got a fair amount of potassium.
But you're saying avocado is even better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know one thing that I've never seen? I have never seen a monkey have a bad Charlie horse in their leg, ever. And you know the reason why? Because they eat bananas.
They eat lots of bananas, yeah.
I'm not sure that's a scientific study. It's just an observation. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so what is the most important thing that you really want to address that would make you very, very happy?
Well, I would love to get off. I don't take any other. I've never taken any prescription medication in my life except for 22 years I took a cholesterol medicine. And then on your program 2 years ago, you said that those statins are the worst thing for your memory, so I got off of them, and the doctor allowed me to.
You mean you have a high value for keeping your cognitive function intact?
I do. It's waning as we speak, but...
I know, but wouldn't that be horrible where you're going, I can't even remember what I was thinking of 2 minutes ago. That's horrible.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
I've done I eat salmon now once a week because of the omega-3 fatty acids. I really do take to heart everything that you prescribe because I really love your program.
So we've got to be able to figure this out where your kidneys can get back to where they can keep the blood pressure in a perfect balance. And so there's a marker called GFR that stands for glomerular filtration rate. If that's lower than 100, that means your kidneys are not working at 100% filtering capacity or efficiency. So that may point to some of it right there, which means maybe we can improve the function of the kidneys. Now, my mind
I have a friend that has kidney problems, and we talked about GFR on Friday on the golf course. And so I went back and looked at mine. Mine's at 69.
That means you've got a whole bunch of damage to your kidneys, buddy. They're very damaged.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that to bring you down. I'm saying it for the purpose of what can we do to restore it. I'm going to jump off into a slightly different topic. There is a flavonoid compound. You find it in apples. It's found in onions. If I'm not mistaken, there's some in garlic. You find some in celery. And all those things, as I mentioned those, you're thinking, well, I've heard that an apple a day keeps a doctor away, and I've heard that garlic is good, and I've heard stories that onions are really, really good for your heart and your blood pressure and kidneys. So that's a clue right there, but they contain a flavonoid compound that's called rutin, and that's spelled R-U-T-I-N. And what I'm going to suggest to you is there is always a Goldilocks just right amount of rutin that helps your kidneys, it helps your heart, it keeps you free from infection, but it helps your blood pressure and your cholesterol, keeps your body clean. So what we may have to do is just be willing to experiment with maybe looking up which foods are high in rutin. The biggest source of all time is a substance called buckwheat.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking about starting a new business at the golf course. I know it may sound strange, but if I serve buckwheat pancakes on the ninth hole or the ninth green, do you think I could potentially sell a lot of them?
Maybe not on the ninth green, but on the first tee.
Well, I either had the middle or the beginning or the end. I just chose incorrectly. But when you consume buckwheat, that has got to be one of the greatest sources. So have you ever been out in public before and you've seen somebody, when you look at their skin like on Sunday morning at church, and you see all these bloody patches, like either they're bruising easy or their blood's leaking out, and it just looks horrible, like they got into a fight with a Doberman pincher and they lost or something like that. Well, that's the blood vessels. They're breaking apart. They're leaking. But that's a rutin deficiency right there. So if you gave me 2 weeks and you gave me enough rutin, we could probably turn that around where you said, what happened to your bloody arms? They say, well, it just magically disappeared once I started consuming rutin. But rutin has been shown to be very, very good to help correct blood pressure issues. And what you can do as soon as we get off the air, put me to the test. Go to your computer and type in, is rutin good for the blood? And you'll find out, oh my goodness, I didn't realize I had this much research on rutin.
So you said it was R-O-U-T-I-N?
No, R-U-T-I-N.
Oh, just R-U-T-I-N.
Yeah, I'm rooting for you, but I'm talking about rooting from buckwheat. That's R-U-T-I-N.
All right, I'll do it.
Yeah, take a look at that. But we're trying to find, and also, it does have what I would consider good anti-inflammatory effects upon the body, which we want those repair mechanisms of your body to go to that disc and try to resolve whatever inflammation or repair that it can, right?
Yes.
Do you take fish oil every day?
No.
You'd be wise to look into that. Do you take magnesium every day?
No. I don't take any. I take a D3 for bone, and I take a glucosamine chondroitin.
Well, you're smart. Those are great choices. Good job. If your doctor did a blood test called serum magnesium, if you want to heal and if you want to live a long time or as long as your God-given potential is, then you want your serum magnesium to be at 2.4 or 2.5. 2.3 and below, that's where you have all the death. But that's easy to do. I don't remember how much that test cost, but I'm guessing 20-something bucks, maybe 30.
Yeah.
But it's a specialty test, but it's worth it. But if they measure the amount of magnesium in the bloodstream, I mean, study after study demonstrates that every system in the body stays in so much better working order when you start feeding and nourishing the body with adequate amounts of magnesium. And those are things that really have a great regulatory effect over your blood pressure. Huge.
Sure. I'll go back and look at my last blood test and see what my magnesium level was. I didn't notice.
Yeah.
Most all of them were in the green, so she said, you're great.
Well, what do you mean by most?
Well,
does that mean some of them were not in the green?
No, there was only one that was borderline, and I think that was hemoglobin or something.
And which direction was it?
It was low.
Okay, and so that may point toward that you're anemic. That means your blood is not of as high a quality as it should be, and you're lacking some nutrients. I would go back and look at your protein level. If your protein level is below 7.5, then you may not have enough protein to get the body back in good repair. And basically, that's what the disc is made of. It's made of collagen and protein.
Yeah.
So
go back and look at that, too.
Yeah. Well, what else can I help you with today?
I think you've got me on the right track. If I have any problems, I'll call you next Saturday.
All right. Have a great day. Have a great meeting.
Thanks, Dr. Morgan.
All right. See you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. The phone number here at the station, I don't remember giving it out. My bad. Here it is right here. Do you have your pencil handy? Okay. Area code 903-589-8507. I would not wish a ruptured disc upon anyone. Oh, my goodness. Talk about putting your body under great stress and turmoil, trying to rise to the occasion to see if it can go there and heal and repair. You know, one thing that all you can do is you can do your best to try to study and learn. But I can tell you, I think the level of education of colleges probably needs to change a little bit, meaning we need to spend more time talking about real-world solutions. Anyway, so let me jump off into this topic right here. There are systems within the body. Hang on a second. We got a phone call, and phone calls and people are more important than me talking. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Doctor. Hi. I was just listening to you talking to the gentleman, just part of it, about his GFR.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
and different things like that. Well, my situation, I only have one kidney. I lost it from the cancer.
Oh, no. And, well, I'm glad you got one left.
Well, I am, too. I had a little 4-centimeter cyst in there that was also cancerous. So I've had that a little compromised.
Wow.
And you were talking about, you know, potassium and things like that. And I've been, like, saying, like, don't get too much potassium because then it hurts your kidneys. My blood pressure is, I'm 75. My blood pressure is really good. It usually runs, like, around 132, 130-something over, like, 72 or something. I mean, I've got good blood pressure, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
High cholesterol since I was in my 30s.
Well, how do we even know that your high cholesterol is even an issue? It may not be.
Well, I'm not that concerned about it because like I said, I kept thinking, oh, I'm going to have terrible, you know, blood pressure when I get older and stuff, but it's good.
So, I know. The proof is in the pudding.
Right. I was wondering what I could do to get my filtration better because, I mean, sometimes mine's been down as low as like 48. I do take omega-3s. I take flaxseed oil for that. And
well, I get to use people as guinea pigs.
Yes.
I don't know if that's really the right way to say it, but I'm pretty good about doing everything I can not to, like, overpromise the moon and stars to people, but I just tell them straight up, this is what you got to do right here. So, for example, the other day I saw somebody that was drinking 10 Dr. Peppers a day.
Oh, no, I don't, that's horrible, all the phosphorus and stuff.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I don't drink sodas. I drink a lot of water, because they said that's and actually, it's always been my favorite beverage.
So what do you think happened to the person once they were motivated to give up the 10 Dr. Peppers a day and just start drinking water and herbal tea?
Oh,
I think it was dandelion and hibiscus.
I bet they felt better. Now, I tried hibiscus.
Yeah, that's right.
I have a bunch of allergies and things. I have a lot of allergies. And there's certain things that just don't agree with me. And the thing about the hibiscus did not set well with me.
So is the most important thing addressing the GFR around 48 or something like that?
Yes.
Okay.
And sometimes they'll go up to 50-something, you know, but...
Why don't we get to jump up to 85 pretty quick?
Oh, I'd love that. I mean,
okay.
That'd be wonderful.
Can I ask you a couple questions?
Yes, sir.
Do you have a sweet tooth?
Not really. Now, I'll take that back. Recently, I have been having ice cream, which is bad for me. I don't normally...
Oh, my goodness, man. I have never heard of anybody confessing a sin that bad before. That's horrible. Let's get beyond that. I'm starting to get worked up over that. Was it Bluebell by chance?
No, actually, but I try to, you know, like I'll have like a pint, maybe it'll last me 3 days, you know.
Wow, you really have self-control, don't you?
Well, I don't know. I try to have it less than that.
My point would
eat candies or cookies or cakes or anything like that.
My point would be that refined sugars on any level are, they just literally will beat the crap out of the kidneys. They make them work so hard. So you got to make it easy. So if you ate a diet that was basically meat, a little bit of meat, vegetables, and berries, you're probably going to make it really, really easy on your kidneys. Point number two right here, okay? You got to have enough blood flow through the kidneys. And so, for example, and I think this is a good one, they have done studies on people that are laying down and they're very sedentary all day long, for example, in a rehab hospital or a nursing home facility. Have you ever been to a nursing home before?
Unfortunately, just for 2 weeks after an emergency surgery.
Well, I have probably gone to the nursing home no fewer than 300 times in my life just to visit somebody.
Yes, sir.
So I've been there a whole lot. So, I mean, you walk down the hallways, you're looking for the person, and you're going, oh, my goodness, that person's laying in bed. That's where I saw them the last time. They don't get out of bed. But when you're very sedentary, your body only the kidneys, they only filter about 200 gallons of blood a day. And so when you have such little blood moving through the kidneys, you can't deliver them enough oxygen. You can't get enough nutrients. You can't wash them or scrub them clean at 200 gallons a day. Do you know what normal is? 2,000 gallons. That's one of the great benefits of exercise, where you get your body moving. This morning before I went on the air, and this is probably a waste of your time, but it said that women that do, and men that do strenuous housework, Actually, I don't even know why I said women. It's probably only men that do housework that I know of. I don't even know any women that do housework.
That's
it's always
the funniest thing you've ever said on the radio. I love that.
Yeah, when men get home from work, what they do is they have to start cleaning the house. Anyway, I'm just so. But when you do housework, they said that you can burn easily 300 to 350 calories. And so, man, I'm just thinking about that. You could probably make a game out of it. Like, here, I'm going to vacuum, then I'm going to sweep, I'm going to take out the trash, I'm going to scrub the baseboards with my toothbrush. But you could just keep going and going, but you've got to get some movement. And so the average person filters about 2,000 gallons of blood a day when they're active. So being active is really critical. Now, the other thing, this is my sales pitch number three, okay?
Yes.
All right, there's a substance called sodium bicarbonate.
Oh, yeah, see, I caught one day when you were you told somebody to brace his GFR to take a half a teaspoon
baking soda.
Baking soda.
Yeah.
Every morning, and I said, "Well, but I only have one kidney. Do I take a half a teaspoon?" And well, and I was put it. I meant to call you back, but
yeah, no reason to be scared. You could always do a quarter if you want to just test the waters to see what happens. But the study that I'm referring to is GFR does not really get worse as long as you're taking baking soda, which means it's alkaline and it's able to soothe the acid from the kidneys. And so that's the reason why you don't eat sugar and drink Cokes, is because it just throws so much acid on the kidneys and just stresses them out. Does that make sense?
Yes, that sounds great.
Now I'm just going to... I'm sorry?
I was going to say, the idea about being sedentary, after I was just... They found out I had breast cancer, and they did the surgery. I couldn't have the chemotherapy and radiation because I had COVID, and this is back in 23. And then I had the chemotherapy, and my intestine ruptured. I turned out I had diverticulitis. I didn't get all my doses of chemotherapy, which for now, when I realized how bad that is for your body, I realize now I was glad I only had three instead of four. And so I was on a wound vac for 4.5 months, just laid out, you know, because I had this big incision down the middle of my stomach, you know, down my stomach.
Oh, my goodness.
And I the nurses were coming, you know, like three times a week to change all the dressings and stuff. And like for 4.5 months, I'm lying here, you know. And what you're saying about being active, and it makes so much sense. And then they referred me to Courage Health, where you can go in and exercise, and you have somebody there to help you and be on the treadmill and all this stuff. And I was feeling better. And then I had COVID. I had another surgery to reverse the first surgery because I had to have colostomy, you know, because it, you know. Anyway, so it's just like for the past 2 years, I've just been very sedentary. And then I got COVID again. And then, you know, I've been laying around the house, and that just makes sense. It just like almost basic physics kind of thing.
Yeah.
You gotta get the oxygen to the cells. Hello. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. You got it.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I need to get back to doing that, to going to the gym.
If I had two unique supplements that I could recommend to you, that would target the healing and the repair of the kidneys, I would probably recommend one called Rena Food. And I've got to give you full disclosure. This is very, very offensive to some people. I'm just saying that because I've had people give me an earful over this, and I never do this to see if I could get somebody going. But it's made from cow kidneys. But that doesn't disturb me at all.
I have a caveat. See, I'm a vegetarian. Now, I'm over lacto vegetarian. I do have eggs, you know, and some dairy. But
why do you think I'm recommending to you Rena Food? Just give me your best guess.
Because it's like you need to get whatever that's in that kidneys, you know.
Yeah.
To the kidneys.
And that means your current diet's not providing that for you. So I'm just cutting to the chase, and I'm telling you, if you would like to restore your kidneys and you would like to prevent dialysis. Now, I had to tell a gentleman the other day, I said, evidently you want to be on dialysis on the track that you're going, and you'd like to have a foot amputated. And he kind of looked at me strange, and I'm going, well, that's the direction that you're going right now. I mean, I can't really motivate you or convince you to take care of yourself. That's something you got to do. So.
And what was that thing? What was that thing again? I was writing things and I missed.
Well, the product is called Rena Food, and one of the components, it's made from the kidneys of a cow.
Rena Food.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is it that what is the chemical or the element or whatever in it that
I just told you?
Just kidneys from a cow.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And some of it, they call it, they'll call it protomorphogen glandulars, and that's going to be the nuclear portion of the kidney cells because it contains the genetic material to tell the body to. If I say trophic, I'm not trying to give you a big word that nobody understands. That just means healing and repair. So what we're doing is we're trying to introduce something into your body that will actually target the healing and the repair of your kidneys. Does that sort of make sense in simplicity? So what you can do is you can go online and you can type in Rena Food and what are the ingredients, and it will list each and every one for you. And you'll find out real quick there's nothing synthetic in there. It's just all whole food. It's just food. And so, yeah, what a radical idea I'm giving you that we could actually feed your kidney to get it back up to good working order again, or at least try. And, of course, there's a lot of moving parts. I don't know if you're eating something that you shouldn't be eating. I mean,
I don't have processed foods. I try to have a lot of vegetables, but then they say, don't have this, have that. Watch your potassium. Watch your phosphorus.
Well, you don't really have to watch potassium if you're unless you're taking a drug for the heart.
I take no prescription drugs whatsoever.
Okay, so on your blood tests, you just look at your potassium level. What would your potassium level be?
I remember it was in the middle.
Well, then it's
a little low.
About the only time you can really have an issue with potassium is if you're taking a drug that forces your body to hold on to it. Yes, then it could be deadly. But that's such a rare deal.
Well, when I was in the hospital from the time the petechiae made the petechiae.
I know what you mean, petechiae.
You know what I mean, yeah. The little holes that got infected and caused it, to be, ruptured. I went several days and didn't.
Do you mean like diverticuli?
Diverticulitis.
Yeah.
Thank
okay,
you.
I'm with
Bless you, doctor.
You're making me read your mind.
You've done it. The Lord's helped. They were giving me the most horrible thing, the most horrible medication besides the intravenous, antibiotics to clean up all the pus and poop. That's the doctor's quote that was in.
No, no, I get it. You're trying to weed out the toxic germs and bacteria that are living in your gut.
Yeah. Well, my intestine had ruptured, and all that stuff that was in the intestine went into the abdominal cavity.
That's just very toxic. I hate that for you.
Oh, yeah. I had to go to the ER. I mean, it was a terrible thing. But
We may have to do an overhaul of your gut while we're at it.
Well, I've been taking probiotics. This happened in September the 1st. Of 2023.
2023 was not your best year, was it?
No, it wasn't. I had a bunch of bad stuff, But anyway, they were grinding up potassium tablets and feeding it to me with a spoon. I'd have it with, like Jell-O or something like that. And I mean, it was horrible. It just tasted, disgusting.
You probably wouldn't like the way I would do it any better. I'd force you to eat guacamole against your will.
Oh, well, I probably would have welcomed that.
And some cinnamon and raw honey on your sweet potato. How do you like that?
Oh, anything was better than that potassium.
Did I mention butter yet?
No.
If you want your kidneys to heal, you got to eat butter.
Are you sincere with that?
Not only am I sincere, but young lady, when you get off the phone with me, why don't you just take a gander at this and you're going to find out. Just type in, does low GFR predict a woman developing cancer? You're going to find out the answer, and it's going to shock you. And then
my GFR was okay,
You're saying that.
I lost the kidney.
No, I don't agree with that. I've done this too long.
Oh, okay.
I would say I'm going to be open to the idea that maybe things weren't as they should be, and a physician or a nurse or a PA, they should have said, hey, this is an issue. Why don't we take care of it now before it gets to be a bad problem? But just type in, does low GFR predict cancer occurrence? And see what you come up with. I did the study myself about a month ago. I was shocked. The other point is this.
sir.
We've got to find a way to help get your body back into good working order, because if you're healthy and radiant, that means you feel good, you're strong, you can do anything that you want. And but these are all predictable factors of how long you're going to walk the earth and enjoy yourself. That's opposed to somebody that's just miserable all the time when they feel horrible. But we have a lot of things to run toward here, and so just be open-minded that you might be very, very deficient in protein.
Well, that's another thing. They say don't have too much protein. You know, when they took my kidney out, they said, that's fine, you're cancer-free.
But you realize I know where you're coming from, but if I say you're deficient in protein, if you counter with me that I'm supposed to be deficient in protein, what am I supposed to do with that?
Well, they told me I should have, like, 45 grams of protein every day.
Okay.
So but that's good, bad.
I haven't looked at your protein levels, and so what you would look at is called albumin.
Okay, yeah, albumin.
Albumin is the main transportation protein. It's made by the liver. And so when that starts going below the number 4.1, you're going to have all the health problems. If it gets into the threes, that's where a person cannot do anything to prevent cancer from forming. You've got to be able to deliver oxygen, just like you wisely said a while ago, and nutrients. So I'm just trying to tell you things that might be of benefit to you. But you've got some good stuff you can work on here.
Well, I'm going to see. Back when I was in my 50s, I guess I was. Yeah.
You mean the 1950s?
Oh, no, I remember those, but no, back when I was in my 50s, I went to see this guy, and this doctor, and he gave me this really fantastic workup, because I was worried about losing weight, and I had problems, and I heard him on the radio, so and he gave me all this fantastic, I've never seen all the blood work that he, i.e. you, gave me, and I remember, I need to see if I can dig that up, and of course I never threw that away, and see what my GFR was back then. It would be interesting to look at it, because I don't know, I don't remember even seeing GFR, you know, looking at and stuff, but I'll try to drag out my old things. But I remember,
sure,
I came with a spiral notebook, and you were so kind and helpful, and you said, well, I think you will be successful because I see your attitude and you're taking notes and you act like, and I did. I lost weight and I was so thrilled, and I've always, you know, had respect for what you do. And I'm sure this will help me too. And so I'll start half a teaspoon of the baking soda right away, and look into these other things. And I just appreciate that. And
oh, you're welcome.
You were talking about magnesium. I do take a lot of supplements, different supplements, you know, with ubiquinol and vitamin C and calcium, because I've got osteoporosis and all these different things. And so I'm trying to take care of my body. My mom was 91, and she didn't take any prescription medicine except a muscle relaxant for something. But, I'd like to live that long. That's all in God's hands. But like you said, the quality of life, to have that.
Well, that's in your hands.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, you're welcome. Thanks for your phone call today. I hope you have a good weekend.
Well, bless you for what you do and the things you do to help people.
Well, you're sure welcome, ma'am. I appreciate you very much. Have a good day.
You too. God bless you.
All right. The phone line is once again open at 903-589-8507. Well, good morning, and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
Well, thank you for your phone call.
I've got a question about Herbitin's nodules. My ring finger on my right hand and my little finger on my right hand, the first right under my fingernail, is all swollen, and it's painful, and it affects my hands.
Well, did they just start to show up?
Probably within the last year.
I think when I was in school, my Indian professor pronounced those Herbitin's, but it doesn't matter. But you're talking about those round, hard, painful calcium deposits at the distal joint of your finger before you get to the nail bed. Is that right?
Yes.
Can I just give you like a bunch of ideas, and you can tell me if there's anything that gives you tremendous relief?
Okay.
All right. First things first. I don't know that I'm going to go in order, but let's just try a bunch of them. You could always try rubbing plain Jane castor oil on those bony calcium deposits of your fingers at night before you go to bed and see if you wake up with them feeling better. Another thing that could be tried is just rubbing apple cider vinegar. Now, apple cider vinegar, not everybody likes the smell of it. I don't mind it. I think it tastes good, too, when I drink it. But you could put apple cider vinegar and see if that does something to act as a solvent to help remove some of the inflammation. So that's another thing you could try. I'm kind of a fan of trying lemon juice. I'm not trying to promise it'll work, but if you rub fresh lemon juice on there, just let the lemon juice soak into that node or that calcium deposit and let your body drink it up. See if doing that several times a day starts to make it change for the better. And then maybe the last thing, have you ever heard of calcium bentonite clay? It's almost like some, there you go. But if you made some clay and rubbed the clay like, you know, the potter has a chunk of clay on the potter's wheel, he's trying to form it into a cup or a bowl or something like that. But that's what you would put on your fingers and leave it on for about 20 minutes. If it air dries, you're going to see if the clay kind of magnetically starts pulling inflammation out of those Hebridines nodes.
Okay.
And
anything else?
Well, one thing that I might try is I might try giving you celery juice. Do you have a juicer?
I have a blender. I don't think I have a juicer.
Well, just play along with me then like you do have one. If you had two or three ribs of celery and you ran it through the juicer, all you're doing is trying to chop it up and extract the blood from the celery. If I had my way, this is what the formula I'd make for you. I'd probably take two or three ribs of celery. I might even put an apple in there just to make it taste really, really good. But if you could get a reasonable-sized chunk of fresh ginger root. Now, this is what I don't want you to underestimate. Ginger root, man, that stuff can be amazing sometimes how well it works at removing inflammation from the fingers. And so if you put a chunk of celery, did I say celery root? I meant to say ginger root. But if you could run that through the juicer with maybe the juice of a lemon also, drink that every day and see if that pain doesn't start to go away in your fingers. I mean, are they painful? I may have made an assumption.
Yes, they are.
Oh.
And it kind of goes into my hand, the pain, a little constricted feeling.
When I was in school, I can tell you exactly what I would have done with that, because that's the way I used to treat them. We used to have a hand paraffin bath. I don't know if you know what that is. It's almost like if you go to Dairy Queen, you take an ice cream cone, you dip it down in the chocolate, you pull it back up. It forms like a chocolate-covered wax coating on there. But these paraffin baths, I think it's like four parts paraffin, one part mineral oil. But I would literally have my severely arthritic patients at the clinic that I worked in dip their hands down to the hot paraffin. I think it's like 123 degrees. Maybe it's 125. I can't remember, sorry. But they just dip their hand and pull it out, and it's hot. It forms wax on their hands and fingers. And I'd have them dip it over and over again until we got like a nice wax coating. And then I would wrap them up in a kind of a, I guess it was a towel or a mitten. And man, we would peel that stuff off, and I'd say, how do your hands feel now? And they'd say, oh my goodness, they feel amazing. So if you were to go, I'm just going to mention some websites. Who knows where you'll find it? And you've never heard of either one of these websites, I'm pretty sure. One's called eBay. Have you ever heard of that?
I think I have.
Hmm. How about Amazon.com? You ever heard of that one?
Yes.
Maybe once or twice?
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay. But if you typed in hand paraffin bath, they make them. They used to sell them for $10 with the tariffs, probably $30. Who knows? But you could do that at your home. And sometimes I will even have a person add essential oils like maybe rosemary or maybe a drop or two of tea tree oil or eucalyptus. But what you would do is you would dip your hands down that paraffin, pull them out, and see if that starts to pull the inflammation out of those bony Hebridines nodes.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
Good. I think I can do that.
Now, you may have to be a multimillionaire to order order one these days, but they used to cost $10.
Okay. Well, I shall do those things.
Well, I hope that helps. Give me some feedback. Let me know how it works out for you.
I will do that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, ma'am. Have a great weekend. Enjoy talking to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There's a phone line once again open at area code 903-589-8507. My eyes are fixed on the control board. It says line number one, and no one is calling. So if nobody calls, I'll go on to my next topic that I find very, very interesting. But if somebody does want to call, this would be your opportunity to do so. And it's so much easier answering your questions now as opposed to trying to answer them another time. Okay. Let me see. What is this right here? No, not that one. Okay. Now this is very, very interesting to me. I'm going to cover some research that's just probably going to almost sound borderline unbelievable, but just listen to it carefully. As I'm, I don't know if anybody else is like me, but I think each one of us, we have a chance where we can learn and we can grow. And I find all this information so interesting. A lot of it, I read it and I think, well, that's not really anything that I can use and apply, but this really is. And so what I want you to think about this morning is about the word called stress. And there's a lot of ways that we can interpret that, but I want you to listen to this right here. This is based on a study that was done back in 1998, so that was, what, 27 years ago. And what they did was, in the year 1998, there were 30,000 adults, meaning there were no children in the study. And in this study, oh, by the way, it was done in the United States of America. And so these 30,000 adults, they were asked how much stress that they had experienced in the last year or the past year. Are you with me on that? Maybe that was the year 1997. And they were also asked one more question. Here's the question. The researchers said to the 30,000 adults, the first question was, how much stress have you experienced in the past year? And number two, do you believe stress is harmful to your health? Okay. So those are the two questions right there. You with me on that? So they did a follow-up. They followed them for 8 years, and 8 years later, the researchers scoured public records to find out who among the 30,000 participants had died. And so I'm guessing what they did was they had the person's name. And they probably went to Google. I don't know if there was Google available in 1998, but they searched records to see if anybody had passed away by looking at death announcements, obituaries, something like that. Here's what they found out. They showed that high levels of stress, they increased the risk of dying by 43%. Now, here's what I don't know. I do not know the average age of the adult in the study. I just don't. Because I didn't take the time to look it up. But you're with me on that, right? So high levels of stress increased the risk of dying by 43%. But, and this is the part that got my attention, that increased risk only applied to people who also believe that stress was harmful to the health. And so you're going to ask me the question, you're going to say to me, Dr. Morgan, that maybe stress is not harmful to the health? Well, it depends on how you look at it. So they said that people that reported high levels of stress, but who did not view their stress as harmful, they were not more likely to die. In fact, they had the lowest risk of death of anyone in the study. Even lower than people that reported very, very low levels of stress. And they had nothing to worry about. Isn't that amazing? It's all based on a person's mindset or attitude towards stress. The researchers conclude that it wasn't stress alone that was killing people. It was the combination of stress and the belief that stress is harmful. Are you with me on that? All right. Well, let's take a look at that just for a second. Have you ever seen a person literally have a panic attack where they literally thought that they were going to die? Well, you know as well as I do, that's not real pretty. I think I had the experience when I was maybe, I'm going to say 12 years old. And I've told y'all this story before, but when I was a boy, we lived in Mesquite, Texas. I think for a few years we lived in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, which, oh, I liked it. It was cool. Living in the country. Oh, my goodness. If I could spend every day outside, that's the way I want. Now, that was before video games, so who knows? Maybe if my mom and dad told me, Roy, go to your bedroom, turn off the lights, and you play video games, young man. And if you're hungry, you get a bag of Doritos and a Mountain Dew, and you drink it right now. That's some good nourishment. No, of course not. I wasn't allowed to play video games or even watch TV as a child. I had to either read a book or draw or do something outdoors or do some chores. But then again, everybody that's a baby boomer like I am probably had to do that, right? That's because our parents loved us and they wanted us to learn how to... Anyway, so getting back to the topic... When I was 12 years old, we had a young lady from Brazil come and live with us. She was a foreign exchange student. Her name was Vera. Okay? She spoke with a Portuguese accent. Do I speak Portuguese? No, I do not. There's probably a lot of people that would be fluent in Portuguese, but it is not I. And so I don't remember all the details, but I'm just trying to flesh out, there was a day. I don't even know what the circumstances were that built up to it, but, oh my goodness. I think we had a mental breakdown that day. Whatever happened to Vera, I'm not sure, but she literally had the breakdown of all breakdowns. If you've ever heard a human being, especially a woman, scream bloody murder, and... become physically uncontrollable, I think that would be a very mild, light way of explaining what I witnessed that day. But the point I'm getting to is, obviously she was very, very stressed. And it sure didn't appear to me that she thought the stress was a good thing. All right? To her, maybe dying might have been better what she went through, because I heard her say things that were probably... suggestive that I've got to end this pain. But anyway, let's move along. What if every time that you had a stressful event or something uncomfortable happen, that you took a step back and before you react to it, you think, is there anything that I can learn from this? Do I have an issue within me that I need to learn and grow through or grow by or get better? Can I study the topic? And folks, the people that had stress, but they saw stress as good, they outlived the people that had very little, next to no stress. Now, isn't that interesting? You've heard the phrase before, stress will kill you, but I'm willing to rethink that right now. So if stress is very negative, yeah, it'll kill you. But if stress, if you view it as positive, maybe it's a gift. Maybe this is a chance for you to grow spiritually as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. I was wondering if you had some advice for a swollen leg and that's turned red.
Which leg? The left one?
Venous stasis dermatitis. It's the right leg.
The right leg, okay.
It could be from possible side effects from a prescription blood pressure medication, nifedipine.
How old is the person? Is it male or female?
71. It's my mother.
Okay. What color is the leg right now? Did you say it had a reddish tint to it?
Yes, actually, the leg is so swollen and full of fluid that skin has came off.
Oh, so is the skin weeping the fluid from the bloodstream?
Yes.
Is it kind of like a yellow-orange color?
No, it's not actually weeping. It's just red. Actually, I am concerned that it could have.
Well, I don't want her to have cellulitis, which is a bacterial infection when all that fluid becomes stagnant. How long has it been this way?
It's been a good while, and.
Well, what does that mean, though? Does that mean 2 days, or does that mean 2 months?
No, it's been months.
Okay, so that's a little bit of an issue. So, does your mama get on an exercise bicycle or seated pedals and just pedal away all day long?
She has pedaled before.
Well, that's not really what I'm asking, though.
No, she's...
Okay, let me rephrase it. Is your mom getting enough physical exercise where she can pump all that fluid off her leg?
No, she walks around on a walker.
Well, we're gonna have to get her some bicycle pedals in. So if you went to Amazon and typed in exercise bicycle pedals, she could just put those in front of her while she's sitting on the couch and just pedal away. But you got to give the body a reason to pump all that stagnant fluid off that right leg, or it's just not going to go away.
Right.
So that would be one idea. Another idea. Do you know what juniper berries are?
I can try to find some.
Okay, so the two things that I'm thinking of that might help remove all that fluid from the leg or help would be juniper berries, and that can be in a herbal remedy. Sometimes it's diuretic, and I would think of like dandelion root. If I had to choose two vegetables, I don't know if it is cilantro or parsley a vegetable. If it's not... You know what parsley is, don't you?
Yes, sir.
So parsley and celery may be a godsend for her.
Okay.
Does she sunbathe that leg at all?
Not as often as we should.
Okay. So is she in her right mind?
Yes.
Okay, so she can actually write down on a sheet of paper, I'm going to go out in the sun for 20 minutes a day and sunbathe my leg. She could write that down, right?
Yes.
You could get a juicer and start juicing an apple with about 3 ribs of celery, and you could... Now, parsley and cilantro is just a handful. You just got to, like, cram it all together in a ball and shove that sucker through the juicer. It's not easy. But if you get the juice from it or if you eat it, then we're in business. But I would if she wants this to go away, I would not eat a drop of sugar or refined or packaged foods as if my very life depended on it. I would only eat meat and vegetables. If you had a vibration board, I'd have her stand on that. Since she's on a walker, I wonder if you can get her like a $30 rebounder and she can go up and down on that all day long.
Okay.
But if we don't get those fluids moving, then they're just going to be very, very stagnant. It's going to be like if you have a pond that has a clear stream going through it. It stays clean and clear, but if it becomes stagnant, that's where you get like duckweed and algae. It just turns black and dirty because it's stagnant. Movement is the key to life, and we got to get that fluid moving. I would look at what's called rootin. I would look at what's called Collinsonia root. And those things, all these things I'm telling you, it may help turn the tide, but right now, unless we get her moving, so you can buy for like $40 online, you can buy one of those computerized set of pedals and she can just pedal away. She might need to pedal for 2 hours a day to get the fluid off.
Okay.
So if I had more time, I'd spend, but it looks like I'm out of time. I'm so sorry.
It's all right. Thank you. Have a blessed day.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. This program is Health Essentials. I'm your host, Roy Morgan. Lord willing, I will be back this time next week.